Welcome to D&D, the Dinner Party Role-Playing Podcast. I'm your host and Dungeon Master James Gressel. With me today are the fun people. Say hi, fun people.
Hello.
Oh, turn Beth down.
Hello.
Oh, I do have to turn Beth down. It's not,
Jesus, fuck.
It's not often I have to turn Beth down.
Hello.
Steph. God.
It was fine beforehand when I was talking about the woodshed.
But you know that every time.
Things that my husband could do to me in there.
Wow.
If you ever wonder
that's
what.
That's a paddling.
Our sound checks are like.
We saw fish last
week. We did. We did. And it was amazing. And I had a moment during the first set where I was thinking about this show. And I was like, it took me back to college and everything. And just like, have the confidence to do, like, their lyrics are so bad and stupid. I love Fish. They're one of my favorite bands of all time. They have a very special place in my heart. Their lyrics are dumb and stupid. And they have the confidence to be like, we're going to sing about this dumb, stupid shit. And yeah. Everybody's going
like
to fucking love it.
Doll?
Esther is, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a bit since I've actually listened to the words. It's very carnival-like. There's just a joy in Fish. That was really great to be reacquainted with. I haven't seen him in a really long time, and I'm glad
that's the most, I think, attentive concert crowd.
Oh yeah. Hardly any phones out at all.
That, I leaned over to James and I was like, what's one thing you don't see right now? Going to concerts, it's crazy. Like, everyone's like filming and stuff. I mean, that's just like how it is. But it was very weird. Looking and I saw like one phone. We were at the Bowl. Like there was a ton of people there.
Sold out show.
Oh, it it really was that meme of where it's like no phones, just living in the moment. Kind of.
Yeah, it was that they are an attentive crowd. You can definitely say that for us fans. That's fans with a PH.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's funny. The Venn diagram of Fish fans. Phantom of the Opera fans with a PH, call themselves that.
I'm glad that we went, and it was a cool reminder to just be like, just do what's fun, you know.
Hey.
Make the stuff that brings you joy, and if it brings other people joy, then it doesn't matter if it's Elevated or Shakespeare or whatever. It's just fun stuff, and that's what the show was, and that's what we're gonna do for you. Here today, as we continue with the story in Didrid. Last we left you guys off, you were in a somewhat precarious position as you rescued the Empress for all intents and purposes from the chaos at the Heavy Metals Exposition, but you were then beset upon by the Prince Cedric, and his coterie of guards. And they charged you with illegal use of magics and placed you under arrest. Margin was also revealed to be the halfling that she is. And in an effort to obscure her identity, claimed to be a new being that was brought forth from the pants and the table. And the combination of science and magic, perhaps, led to something new.
We just made a person.
The claim, anyway, was I'm new. Yeah, there was a big demon breakout, and you guys fought them off and defeated them. The demon Garanthwa was challenged by Flack. Flack fought him off, although the demon claimed you cheated.
Oh, is it because I showed up and just blasted him?
It was a combination of... a team effort that was required to take him down. Zabbis and Fletch claimed to be the devil and the devil's assistant to scare some of the cultists who were trying to kidnap the Empress. It was a very, very good ruse until Flack revealed to the Empress he's not the devil. but the intense, amazing appearance that was the result of a wild magic has worn off, and Zabbis now looks mostly like Zabbis, although is still possessed by Marta due to a mishap in the cultist temple. The other status effects that are affecting the party right now, fruit hats are gone. Those have worn off. Margarine is not in disguise anymore. Neither is Flack. Flack is no longer a bucket baby or a floating person with the prince's mechanical utility belt.
What happened to the mechanical utility belt?
We will learn that in moments.
Russell keeps teasing that we're all fucking naked. He's taken all of our things and put us in a room and we're naked.
Are
you gonna Guantanamo us, dude?
Make us no.
Stack in a pyramid and
he was like, let's do what's fun.
Wasn't
this
that
episode?
Abu Ghraib? Both, probably.
Oh, it was probably both.
Yeah.
Where they like stacked them.
Oh yeah, yeah, you're right. Sorry. I get mixed up with war crimes sometimes.
Oh. Fletch, you were pretty much you this whole time.
I'm not, am I Floop or am I?
We were flooping flip.
But, yeah, that would.
That's over. You can, right?
Yes, the ruse of you being visiting journalists writing about the expo has also been exposed.
Okay.
Are our lanyards gone?
Asking the important questions. Yes, your
I
lanyards
collect
are gone.
Lanyards from all the conventions we go to, so lanyards are important to me.
Yes. So we will. We will dive into it, and by means of doing that, I will explain the meal that we will be having when we pause recording here in a few hours. Based on, in fact, speaking of, Mike, will you go and turn off the stove?
Why'd you ask Mike?
You looked like you were doing something. Actually, I'll just get up.
Well, no.
No,
what
no,
do you
tell
need?
Him. Mike knows how to use an iron.
Okay, fine. Yes, there's a satchel in the pot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I took that out and I put it in the freezer.
Yeah, and then
well, you don't have to put it in
the freezer.
Then you
drink the broth.
No, but will you remove the satchel? Let it drain a little bit. You can just put it on a plate or something.
Your instincts were solid.
I know.
Mike comes back out. There's a pot on his head, and like he's just holding a spoon. He's come from battle.
He's just got the satchel.
It's an actual fruit hat on Mike, the performer.
Men doing chores. Good to see.
Before we do get into today's adventure, I do want to say, this is not an ad. We were not paid for this. If the Dungeons & Dragons movie is still in theaters, please go see this movie.
Yeah, check it out. It's fun.
It's super cute.
It's super fun. It suffered from a horrendous release date.
Horrible release date up against Mario.
Mario
disgusting.
Just fucking uppercutted that thing away.
Oh my god.
And yeah. Bad marketing, I think.
Yeah, terrible marketing.
Marketing.
Horrible trailer.
But it's a good movie. It's fun.
It's a great movie. It's a lot of fun. We want more movies like that with amazing practical effects and good character grounded humor.
Solid tone. It wasn't making fun of itself.
No. It was a really, really fun time at the movies. If you haven't seen it, and it is still in theaters by you. Big, big recommend. If you have seen it, see it again. Help out. Help out the box office. It's closing in on $200 million. I think if it gets to 250, we might be okay.
I think it's going to get a sequel regardless.
I hope so.
I think they know. It's who is it? Is it Paramount?
Paramount.
Yeah. I think Paramount is a studio that knows.
Needs...
They need hits. They know that it suffered from a bad release date. It'll do well on VOD.
Yeah,
it had good enough reviews and word of mouth that it's actually it hasn't fallen that much week to week.
No, it's pretty consistent. It's just not on screens because Mario's on all
Mario
the screens.
And then Guardians is about to come out and also kill it. Yeah, sorry.
God.
Yeah.
Well, see it while you can. Yeah. Great movie. See it while you can. We're gonna get into today's adventure though, which is which like the D&D movie will also start in a prison.
Oh man.
So today's meal, which Mike just helped take some of it off, is bread and water.
No, it's not.
Yep. Bread and water inspired by...
It's much fancier
it's
than
much
what you're thinking.
Fancier than what it's thinking of. Yes, so the water dish will be a asparagus consomme. And
explain what a consomme is for, you know, normal people like me.
A consomme is a clear, concentrated broth that is without any kind of other impurities in it. So the idea is that it is the consummate broth of that flavor. So it should be very, very clear. It will have a subtle green color, but it's not going to be like a vegetable stock that's like
and
cloudy.
So for a broth that is going to be the complete distillation of a single flavor, you chose asparagus.
It's spring.
I like asparagus.
I love asparagus.
But, we're all going to have stinky peas.
Yeah,
stinky
we're gonna peas. Be
that's not
days.
My problem.
It's Erica's.
That is between you guys in the bathroom. But yes, it's an asparagus consomme that will go over a grilled shrimp and mushrooms and asparagus in a kind of soup dish. That's the water component. And then the bread will be a shrimp toast.
Ooh.
Hey, this prison's kind of nice.
And that's what I said.
I'm not going to lie to you, Gressel.
All right, yeah.
We went to Starbucks before we came over here, and Mike and I were both like, do we get food before the bread and water dish? Because we didn't know this. We heard bread and water.
Get
so we did.
Three hots and a cup, baby.
I got a chocolate croissant just to protect myself.
Oh, yeah, I'm also going to make berries and cream for dessert because they're fancy lads.
Berries and cream.
Oh, I'm excited. I didn't know that consomme could be more than one flavor. I thought consomme was like, there's
chicken.
A French, exactly.
Chicken
onion,
water.
Chicken, yeah.
So you
yeah.
could literally make hot ham water.
100%. It'd be hot ham water is a ham
or
consomme.
Hot dog ham water.
Yep. Hot dog water, yep.
That's
hot dog flavored consomme.
Consomme?
Yeah.
It would
just be
disgusting.
A spicy, yeah, or not spicy, salty. Yeah. Whatever.
Are
yeah,
you excited
totally.
And
about
the cacao
that.
Starfish?
Cacao
oh my
star.
Gosh.
That
oh
one went
God.
Over
that
my
would
head.
Be, that's their favorite band. The
that's
Limp
not our
Biscuit.
Favorite band.
Yeah, it's your favorite
it's
band.
Top three concerts for
I
sure.
I see. I see.
You sang one of their songs at
yeah.
your wedding. Yeah, and you didn't sing Gorillaz. So I'm going
to
say that
we
they're
We walked
favorite.
Down the aisle to Gorillaz.
But singing
not at
Gorillaz,
our wedding.
There was no Limp Bizkit at Beth and Mike's wedding. The reason you are getting bread and water is because, yes, you were placed under arrest at the conclusion of the last session. And that is where we are going to pick you guys back up. So, after the prince showed up with a bunch of guards, the prince that you believed to be either at best lost in a dark temple and at worst dead in that dark temple.
I think you got those mixed up.
but somehow he made it out, him and
the doormat?
Dormac, not Dormat.
We all have ways to remember names.
So he and Dormac were found their way out of the temple somehow, and they showed up with a bunch of guards. So many guards, and you guys had just fought this big battle that it was very clear immediately that your best course of action was to just kind of go with this.
Sounds like railroading to me. Am I right?
Choo-choo.
Yep, because it's a story for consumption. So if it were a home game, maybe we could play that out, but we're going to cut the
Roll
shoe
for
leather.
Initiative!
Margarine gives up.
No, yes. We're going to jail.
We're
going to
cut the fat and get to jail. So,
just like consomme.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
The yes, you were placed under arrest. There were enough guards and you guys were worn down that you surrendered. As you were turning yourselves over to the guards, they clasped some cuffs on you that those of you who have magical abilities felt, you know, neutralized.
Ooh.
And then Margarine, you still kind of feel like a faint tingle when these cuffs are put on you, but it's not the same kind of like draining feeling that especially Zabbis feels.
Oh, my mage hand. Oh, no.
Yes, exactly. And you were led away. As you were led away, you could see the prince and the empress arguing. Roll perception.
All of us?
Yes, because I imagine that you would all be interested in what they were saying. If you're not, you can choose not to listen, I suppose.
Oh, I rolled a one. So.
Yeah, and I'm feeling the tingles. I'm at a 3.
I got 19. So
you rolled
I'm...
initiative. Fletch
oh.
did.
Yeah, 19. What'd you say?
Perception.
I got 21.
Okay.
What do I perceive?
Wait. I got 24. I'm better than you.
Wow.
I perceive harder.
Yes. So Fletch and Flack.
I 7.
Somehow, as you guys are goofing around while being arrested, you guys overhear the Empress and you overhear the Prince say something to the Empress where he is invoking the Sylvanas Coldust Accords of Discovery, is what he says.
Mm. Does he say discovery?
He says the Accords of Discovery.
Hmm.
And
can I say something out loud?
Sure. As you're being led away.
Yeah. Hey, is it a full moon out?
Everybody just kind of turns and everybody looks up and then looks at you and you're inside.
You should ask him about the werewolves.
Hey, Grassel, do you remember when we were in when he was in the dark room and couldn't see anything?
Oh, right,
and we all
right,
pretended
right.
that there was a third cult.
Right.
And it was the werewolf.
Oh, man. Oh.
Right.
Nice. Yeah, good job, Mike. Thanks, you're stumping the DM and shit. Dude, yeah. I think you just opened up a path for us.
Yeah, does he get inspiration for stumping the DM?
Yep. Let's find out. Roll deception.
Damn it. Do it, do it, do it.
Oh, nat 20.
Oh, baby! Well, do you howl?
No, okay. The player's celebrating.
Yeah.
Okay.
You fuck off, DM.
Well, it would matter. This does affect the prince and Dormak, where they are like nervous and kind of look around. Yes.
Cool.
But then you also hear the prince say to the empress, "You see, sister, it does not matter if they have saved you or allegedly saved you. They have given away their affiliation with this other cult, this magical cult of shapeshifters, and this one claims to be a new being, and this one looks different. They are clearly shapeshifters of some kind here to cause mischief and mayhem. And I will have them taken to my laboratory for further study."
Whoa. I thought we were going to jail.
Yeah, what?
Well...
that sounds like some evil shit.
That sounds very evil.
What's evil?
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's how fresh you're acting? Okay.
And then, upon this, even though you overhear the Empress protesting, "It's too late, sister. The Accords have been invoked. I have made this discovery of this new being, and I am therefore... have the rights to investigate as I see fit. Now, please, guards." And you are all shrouded.
Oh.
Oh. Like with a blanket or darkness?
With we can't well, see. Both, with hoods.
Yeah.
Cannot see, perceive, smell, hear anything now.
Wow.
Dang.
Can't even smell?
Yes, it's some sort of
magic bags.
Oh, so we all go insane.
Wait, are these magic bags? They can't be magic.
Well, the prince would claim that they are science bags.
Science. Bring me the science bags.
Is that your version of the prince?
Yes.
Quick, bag their heads with the science bags.
The science bags. And you are, yes, you are in sensory deprivation now for the next little bit. You are marched forward. You can feel, you know, like as like, pole axes or spears or what have you, you know, poke you in the back and things to guide you in a certain direction. You can feel that in other parts of your body. You can perceive, you know, sensation, but all of your head sensations, sight, smell, hearing.
ASMR.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, it's supposed to be like head tingles.
Oh, yeah, that is not possible right now. So.
Do our secret rings work?
No.
What?
I mean, they're magic.
Your voice cannot escape the shroud to the ring.
Okay.
Good point.
Does Margarine see the weakness in the bags?
Like being in space.
The Helm of Ferdian?
You probably see some wild shit with the Helm of Ferdian and nothing else in there. Zavis, you're probably... you can see like Marta.
Oh.
You have a weird interior in this sensory deprivation space because you have the sensation of basically like hanging out in a void with Marta. It's like more what Marta experiences when she's in the bone staff.
Oh, I don't want to know that. It's like how I don't want to think about what the dog is thinking or feeling when we leave her here for a little bit. I don't want to know what Marta feels like in the staff.
Yeah,
is it bad?
I don't know. I guess that's up to how you would interpret it. It is a void outside time and space of a kind of suspended existence almost. So time, you feel the sensation of time passing, but not in the same way. And you also kind of feel an otherworldly like separation from your body because of this, where like you can feel that you're being led somewhere and you're like being loaded into a cart.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, like you're being pushed down into a seat, you're being chained to your companions, all of this, but you're also outside of your body in this kind of black oily space of of Marta's kind of interior consciousness. You get images of like and not necessarily visual images, but like sensory memories of like wet grass and mud, blood, and like this a very like battlefield kind of experience. You don't have any there aren't necessarily sounds of it, but you can see that Marta, the ghostly being of Marta, is doing like military drills to kind of like keep herself busy.
Oh wow, okay.
Yeah, so she's like swinging her big sword around in like a very, you know, like training montage way.
Okay.
Does that for eternity?
I can't tell if this would be cool or awful.
Yeah.
I guess it's all about how much time, how do you perceive time passing, I think would be the key to that. Is it one-to-one to real time where eternity would be an eternity, or is there a jump in time?
James, this reminds me of The Jaunt.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not good.
So the rest of you are loaded into this cart. You can feel yourselves, you know, there's stairs. You can feel that you're pushed onto a seat. You can kind of deduce that you are put into some sort of transportation, and then time passes. How much time, you're not entirely sure because of the shrouds. But your body starts to feel colder. It was very warm where you were next to the forge, but the temperature just continues to drop slowly at first, where it's like, oh, okay, we're not like hot anymore. You stop sweating. Then after some more indeterminate amount of time, you start to feel more cold. You can feel wind on your skin. You are then brought out of this cart forcibly once again, but you don't hear, you know, you can't hear jangling or chains or anything, but you feel them on your wrists. Margarine, you're kind of pulled along. Flack a little bit too. They don't really have as much respect for the size difference between you guys and Fletch and Zabbis, even though you would think that they would. But there isn't like custom chain length, so the height of Zabbis and Fletch kind of takes up a lot of the slack. So Margarine, you're kind of almost pulled along.
Oh no.
Yeah.
And they can't hear me if I talk.
Nope.
All right.
Nobody can hear anything. But it is very cold. You feel wind blowing against your bodies now, and you are marched somewhere, or dragged almost in the case of Margarine. And then the wind stops. Margarine, you are pulled in a direction, and you feel some of the slack, you know, loosen. You can now walk on your feet. The rest of you, you know, still feel this. You're being pushed somewhere. Some more time passes, and you are unshrouded. You find yourselves in a white room with a steel door. The door right now is open and surrounded with dwarven guards. They are all heavily, heavily armored. Big plate armor, pole axes. The ceiling and floor and walls of this room are stark white. It appears as if it's solid marble. It is stone. It's not a plaster or anything. The door is a cold gray stainless steel. You have all of your belongings stripped from you at spear point.
Including our clothes?
Including your clothes.
I knew it!
You made us naked?
Well, you're temporarily naked, and then you are given, like, you know, jail clothes, like robes, very basic robes. You look around, Fletch, Flack, and Zabbis. Margarine is somewhere else.
Oh, shit.
I knew it.
Oh, no.
Where's Margarine?
The guards do not speak to you.
And he said, fucking Margarine.
Where am I? Who am I?
Wait, who am I here?
Wait.
That is a very Fletch question.
I forget. If Marta is, like, in my body, can she, like, leave and go do stuff?
She can kind of project from you a little bit. You haven't You haven't really done a situation where she like leaves and comes back.
Okay.
So
how do I experiment with that?
We will see.
Okay.
Are we still cuffed?
You are still cuffed.
So we can't use magic?
You cannot use magic.
And we don't have anything on us.
And you have nothing on you.
Wow, I'm useless. I'm useless.
You have Marta at least.
Yeah, I'm going to work on that. But like...
Yeah, the rest of us are also useless.
But I feel like you guys have like some physical...
Me?
Strength. I rely 100% on magic.
I'm a little gnome. I'm a little gnome musician.
I can flip around.
I'm like fucking a shorter Iggy Pop.
Yeah, the guards leave, let's say. You guys are now alone, the three of you, in this room. There is a big, huge latching sound, a loud clunk as some sort of barricade blocks the outside of this steel door. The room is incredibly bright. You don't see a light source. However, it is... a very, very bright room, light reflecting off of all of these sheer marble walls. It's cold, not frigidly cold, but cold, noticeably cold. And all of the stone is cold to the touch. What do you do? Well, before we join Marjorie and see what's up with her.
Maybe they left the door unlocked. I try it.
It is locked.
I'm out of ideas.
Marta. I want to try and like see what I can do with Marta.
Hi. Oh, where are we now? Wait, this is so bright.
Yay, we're
shiny.
In jail.
Oh.
Yeah, your choices now are complete darkness or
very bright.
Bright jail.
Too bright.
Okay. I need to see if I can like project Marta out of my body and maybe use her as a little spy cam.
Okay.
How do I do that?
Let's roll Arcana and see if you can kind of like think about like what you know about
that 20.
Like, yep. Well, okay.
Nice.
Nice.
Okay. You reach into you kind of sit for a second and think. Okay, ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're thinking about ghosts and, you know, undead and the afterlife and all of this, there's like a flash of an image and it's, you think at first like, oh, is this a goat? Am I connecting with, you know, the goat powers to see Marta? But no, it's something else. It's a purple mask. Like a clown's mask.
What?
And you open your eyes and you see that you're looking at Flack. You just happen to be, Flack just happens to be there right where these eyes were. Like,
uh-huh. What?
Oh.
But then you hear kind of a like gruff kind of chuckle. And then you, know, okay. Marta, I can kind of reach with Marta. You feel that you can, okay, there's at least some projection you can do with Marta.
Okay, what exactly happened there?
Yeah, you had this like flash of image of a clown's mask and when you reached out to this idea of death in the afterlife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I take it I can't literally use Marta as like a spy. Like
you can reach out with her at least a little bit. You don't know the full extent of how far, but you can project her. You feel like you can like you now understand that there's like more here that Marta can kind of connect to.
Is there anything else that I can like sense with her in the cell besides possible?
Through Marta, you do feel, you feel some presences. You feel life energy.
Mm-hmm.
So you can sense Flack and Fletch here in this room with you, and you can sense two living guards right on the other side of the door.
Okay.
Without even like, you know, reaching out too far and like moving Marta. You also feel another presence.
Wait. Can you relay all this to us, Abbas?
What?
Can you relay all this to us?
Yeah, oh, I do that.
Okay. what's the, how long does Flack have to go to sleep for a chance of spaghetti?
A long rest, I think we said, yeah. So like, you know, 8 hours technically, but you know.
I mean,
do you're we in jail.
Time for that? We're in jail. We can probably.
Yeah.
All right. I'll just spend the next 8 hours fighting for my goddamn life.
No, we're making ourselves strong. So we can come get you,
guys. I have an idea.
Nap time.
Yeah, I think. What if I go to sleep and wake up as Flaggetti?
Oh,
I feel like that'll give us something to work with.
Wait, what happened? You absorbed all of the stuff that was on your body when you turned into Flaggetti, right?
Yeah.
So would you absorb the cuffs?
Maybe. And even if not, though, here's my plan. Assuming I wake up as Flaggetti, I'll just bang on the door and be like, oh, hey, I was testing out my new science teleporter, and I smushed the switch spot. You got the wrong guy in here. That's what he sounds like,
right?
Oh,
that would be good.
Yeah, if
they can't just wrongfully imprison someone.
Yeah, not even even if they're a clown. So
invoke the Accords, and then you'll be taken to probably where.
Well, that sounded like it required a discovery, and I think when Margarine said she was new, they counted that as a discovery. That's probably why she's not here with us.
Probably.
The prince is poking and prodding her.
Wait, and I'm sorry. I felt we're just glossing over. I felt like a third presence.
No, I think it was Flaggetti.
Can I investigate this further?
That's how Flack interpreted it.
Sure, you can investigate it further. Roll investigation. You'll go back into, like, that Marta state, and, like, you'll be reaching out.
15?
You look back, and you're trying to find this presence. You're like, okay, there's the guards. You're, like, reaching out through Marta. You're, like, almost looking through Marta's eyes.
Yeah.
Like, okay, there's the guards out there. The vision is weird. It's, like, hazy. It's not quite dark vision.
Yeah.
It's somewhere in between where, like, you see these, like, hazy outlines of the two guards outside. You see the hazy outlines of Flack and Fletch. And then you see another bigger one kind of over Fletch. And then you see
over
that.
Fletch?
Or over Flack. Okay. God damn it. You see like a hazy bigger one over Flack. And then you see that mask kind of appear.
Okay.
And it starts to take more shape. And then you see the face of Spaghetti Clown.
Okay.
Of Flaggetti. And it starts to talk to you.
Whoa.
And it says, hey, Zabbis.
No!
It's me, the entity that lives inside of your friend that you conjured forth.
That's a decent Spaghetti.
It's an approximation.
That's the true sound. That's its true voice.
Not filtered through Flack.
Yeah.
You're getting real close, Zabbis, to his lair. And you've crossed him a few times. You gotta be careful.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Wait. Lair?
Yeah.
Who's Lair?
You know, the Big D.
What?
Yeah. Death.
Or
at least his embodiment here in this world.
Okay.
Zabbis, who are you talking to?
Oh, yeah, can they hear me talking?
Yeah, he's just talking, yeah.
Yeah,
that you hear kind of doubled with Marta's voice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Spaghetti Clown's talking to me. Not Flaggetti, what? Just straight up Spaghetti Clown.
Ugh.
What?
Yeah, it's real scary, honestly. I don't like it.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
He keeps telling me we're getting close to Death's lair.
It's pretty, I can feel him here. That's why I'm able to kind of be both the presence of the entity. I guess that's technically what I am. And also Flaggetti, the embodiment of the physical thing within your friend.
Zabbis, ask if he can just take over my body without having to sleep for 8 hours.
Oh, yeah. Are you like more powerful? Can you just take over
if
Flex
I like
body?
Open myself to him?
Your friend is willing to let me inhabit him?
For a little bit,
like a little bit.
Temporarily.
Okay. Warn him that this may hurt.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I don't tell.
So it's all good?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's
How
good.
Long is it going to take hold?
A little bit.
Okay. A little bit, easy peasy.
You're so trusting.
I'm I feel like as it's happening, I'm just thinking like, a little bit to an immortal like deity could mean something very different than it means to me or Flack, but I also don't say that out loud.
All right, here we go then. And then
Zach Flack has been just like, you know, hearing Zavis slash Marta's side of the conversation. And when he says that they're ready, Flack like just kind of looks up towards the ceiling and spreads his arms out.
Okay. You start to shake.
Oh.
And you start to feel, I guess the best way to describe it is wiggly. You start to feel wiggly. You start to raise up a little bit off the ground and start to float.
Ooh.
And you start to feel yourself kind of almost inflate. And it is incredibly painful.
Ah!
Ooh, I'm not gonna look at this.
Ah! You're gonna take 12 damage.
Ah, shit!
And then you start to you Fletch, you Zavis, you see Flack start to like inflate like in Live and Let Die,
Mr. Big.
Yeah.
Oh, uh-huh.
And
I forgot.
He keeps getting bigger and bigger. Bigger and so big, in fact, that he's starting to fill the room. He's surpassed the size of Spaghetti Clown and is now just this big inflated thing. He's pushing you against the walls.
That,
yeah,
that wasn't part of the deal.
This is and then there's a pop.
Oh god!
And the walls, Zavis, Fletch, covered in sauce.
Oh, gross!
The white walls streaked with red sauce.
Oh, gross!
You guys covered in it as if it's blood.
Is this tomato
sauce? Yeah, does it taste good?
It tastes great.
I'm not gonna taste it.
I taste it already.
And standing there in the room is Flaggetti. Clean costume. Clean.
Hey,
everything
you
else
miss-
covered in sauce.
Hey, Flaggetti. Did you miss me? Where's the little one?
Oh, no.
And we'll cut now.
Jesus.
To Margarine.
I just wanted to, before you start this segment, the idea of becoming Zach is horrifying.
Oh, I filed that away.
Yeah. Just like Zach. Like, what kind of fucked up little guy is Zach?
Hey everybody, Gressel here with a few quick announcements, then we can get right back to it. Thanks so much for listening to episode 166 of D&D&D. Be sure to follow us on social media at D&D&D Pod on Twitter and D&D&D Pod on Instagram, or email us at dndndpod@gmail.com. Check our Patreon, patreon.com/dndndpod. We'll be revamping the Patreon this summer in celebration of our 5th anniversary. We will also be doing a few other things in celebration of our 5th anniversary this summer, but we will not announce those just yet. Stay tuned for more news on 5th anniversary celebrations, which will be coming this June. It's so exciting that we've been releasing episodes for 5 whole years. We've been recording for 6. It's absolutely crazy. Thank you so much for sticking with us for all this time and so many episodes and bonus episodes and crazy release schedules and everything that we've had to endure over time. Big changes over the last few years for all of us, and the show and the world and everything. And thank you so much for listening through all of it. There will be more on the 5th anniversary as we get closer to it. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening to this episode. And good news, you won't have to wait 2 weeks for the next one. That's right, next Wednesday, that's May 3rd, we will have a new episode coming out to your feeds without a week in between. So thanks to everybody again for listening. Beth Shop, BethBeRad.shop. Beth will be at various cons throughout the summer, so check out her website for more information there. If you want to check out Beth and Mike in person at one of their convention appearances, Dead Meat also will have convention appearances. Their info is on their socials, and you can check that out
for James and Chelsea stuff. In the meantime, we as the D&D crew will be back next week, May 3rd. Thank you again for listening. Really excited for this summer. We've been having so much fun playing the last few sessions. We've really enjoyed, and I hope you guys have enjoyed listening to them as well. And we will get back to it now without any further delay. So thanks, everybody, and do what's fun.
We're going to cut to Marge right now.
Zach is your friend's older brother.
Yeah. Margarine, you are deshrouded in a room that is not the sheer white prison cell that the rest of your companions found themselves in. You see, quickly look around. I imagine that Margarine's first choice of check would be, is everyone else here? The answer to that question is no. You are by yourself, except for the Dwarven guards, and Dormak is alone with you. The prince is not in this room right now. However, you see that the room that you are in is finely appointed. It looks to be a kind of office slash laboratory. There is a large window that is open to the sky. There is a breeze coming in with some snow. You are very high up in the mountains. You can see outside of this window, not far away, is a huge sheer wall of mountain that has a snow cover, looks like snow covered road or path leading up to it. That is some distance away. However, you can see it clearly from this window. The sheer side of this mountain that this road leads to is just rock. It doesn't have anything on it. It just looks like a dead end. The laboratory doesn't seem to be chemically focused, but more mechanically focused. There are a lot of different gears and tools and all kinds of strange contraptions and in various states of completion. There is a large stone desk that Dormak does not sit behind. He sits in front of. You are sitting, you are pushed into a chair sitting opposite him. The guards then leave. You have been stripped of all of your belongings. The helm is removed from your head once the shroud is, and you find that you are berobed, but nothing else. All of your weapons, materials, your cargo pants have been taken from you and taken somewhere else. What do you do?
I'm going to try to appeal to this man's sympathies.
Okay.
I tell him, my bones are so sore and my muscles are so tired. They dragged me. I didn't know where I was. I don't know where I am now. I don't know anything. Help me.
Dormak takes out a notebook and starts to scribble down the things that you are saying. And he says, okay, so skeletal and muscular growth doesn't seem to be at the same rate as skin and hair, which appears very old. Perhaps bones are also old, but they could be very young. It's inconclusive at this time. And he's like speaking as he's writing.
I'm a failure. You should throw me out right now.
All I can think of is that jury duty lady.
You are so nice.
Don't worry.
That is her, man. Like,
it's incredible.
Fucking Margarine, a gremlin ass ginger.
Subject appears to lack self-confidence. Unclear if that is due to its newness. And he's just saying these things, and he's right, just kind so of like waiting for he's not waiting for you to do things to observe.
You're gonna talk to me. Perception of the room.
Okay.
So I know a big window.
Yes.
Intriguing thing outside the window that DM has pointed out. My perception check was 12. That's not great. I'm sitting in a chair across
You're
from
You're sitting in a chair across from Dormak, who is also sitting in a chair in front of this large stone desk. With a 12, you can see, you can't see from where you are, but you suspect that the desk is designed as such that there could potentially be drawers on the other side of it, or something, some other kind of containers.
Where's the desk?
Behind Dormac. So Dormac is between you and the desk. Then there is the window behind the desk. To your left is the mechanical laboratory. To your right are some shelves and a wall that on the shelves are some artifacts or knickknacks of some kind and a couple of paintings. They all seem to depict dwarven things in various states of victory or success. They seem to be marking achievements in dwarven history. It is all focused on dwarves. No other art or depictions of any other peoples in here. That's a it feels very cold. You smell oils and things, almost like a garage.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to shut my mouth.
Okay.
And shamble over to the other side of the desk.
Okay.
Between the window and the desk. Purposefully making it look like my body is failing me.
Mm. Subject's motor abilities seem to have deteriorated since the fracas at the heavy metals exhibit. Interesting. It's unclear if this is due to injury or age.
I'm going to open up the drawers and just kind of do a rummage.
They are locked.
I'm going to I don't have my thing. Can my fingers fit into a lock to lockpick it?
No, but there might be other... You don't have anything on you. There is a whole laboratory of tools nearby.
Okay.
Should you want them.
All right, the doors don't open. I've clocked from the art that's on the walls and the books and things. This is like a Cedric space. So yeah, I suppose I'll totter over to the garage part of the room.
Okay.
And start poking through the Tinker Toys.
Okay. Are you looking for anything specific here?
Just trying to kind of, I'm trying to gauge if this is a dissection space. Is this a working on machinery space? Is this something I should be worried about? Are there weapons or wrenches? I'm just kind of getting I'm casing the space.
There aren't clear weapons. There are sharp implements, chisels, scalpels, knives, you know, cutting tools. But this does not appear to be a dissection space. This appears to be a tinkering space. Yes. So Dormac is just kind of observing you. He has stood up now and he is kind of walking around with you.
All right. So I've gleaned from the space that I haven't been taken to some special lab to be dissected. I think this is just like Cedric's office, where he builds things and reads about his own history and no one else's. I'm going to try to climb out the window. No. First, I will steal a scalpel.
Do you want to wait for Jonathan?
Only she knew.
Roll sleight of hand.
Yes, sir.
Steal a scalpel.
2+11. I'm sorry, 2+9 is 11.
You are stopped by Dormac.
Why?
He says, no.
Why?
You see a look on his face that he like catches himself. He wants to respond to you. And then he stops himself. And there's a look on his face that suggests like he isn't 100% on board with this.
Okay.
Roll insight.
It's another 2+1, 3.
Okay, you get no other information from that look.
I pick up a different sharp object.
Roll sleight of hand. Disadvantage, since he's right there.
God damn. Well, that's a nat 1.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh,
you poke yourself on a sharp object.
Oh. I look at him with, like, puppy dog eyes.
You take 3 damage.
Oh.
And you look, and his demeanor kind of changes, and he does kind of feel bad for you. He goes back to the desk, and he opens a drawer. He, like, unlocks and opens a drawer.
I totter after him.
Okay. as he is...
I'm holding up my hand.
Yeah. He opens a drawer. He takes out a small box. You see within this drawer is a large ring of keys, another box, metal box with a lock on it, some papers, and a black stone. It looks like a jewelry box or something carved out of a black stone.
Nope, I want that.
He closes the door very quickly. He closes the drawer very quickly as you get this glimpse of this. And he opens up the case that he removed from it, which is like a first aid kit. And he starts to bandage your poke.
What are your dreams?
Oh, my God. That should throw him.
Yeah, it does. It does throw him. He's like, well, that's a complicated question for a new being, I guess. I guess I want to serve my prince, but I also want to serve the Empire in the way that is best for our people. And pants or halfling or whatever you are, and he like leans in. He leans in close, and he kind of like looks around, and he lowers his voice, and he says, "I'm not really sure if those two are the same thing anymore." And then
pants or halfling?
No, serving the prince and serving the Empire.
I just wanted to clarify.
He was calling you. There was a comma in that. Yes. And then as he says that, the door swings open and the prince saunters in and he says, "Dormak, what have we found so far about our new friend here?" "It looks very old from the outside, and I'm not sure if it's old on the inside or if it's new on the inside. Both things could be true, because neither are working at their peak physical possibility, I suppose."
Marjorie doesn't like those.
It seems that our friend here doesn't quite like that assessment.
She schools her features.
All right, well, I appreciate you making the initial observations. You can leave your notes, and that'll be all for now, Dormak. Check on the others and see what our guards have done from there.
While this conversation is happening, can I sleight of hand and try to steal those keys off of Dormak?
As he's leaving?
They were having a conversation.
They were having a conversation.
I was
next to
Dormak because he had been bandaging my hand.
Yes. Oh, yeah, sure. Sleight of hand.
As he's distracted. Come on, that's going to be a 10 plus 9, 19.
Yes, Dormak is nervous around the prince, and he is not necessarily paying attention to what's going on around his belt. You are able to remove the keys. You're only wearing, I guess, where do you stash them so that you're not just holding them? You have no pockets.
He's got folds.
I got armpit.
Oh, okay.
Injured hand armpit.
Okay. You stow the keys as just as Dormak moves out of the way and the prince is able to see you clearly. Dormak leaves. He kind of bows to the prince and he leaves the room. You are now alone in this room with Cedric. And the prince says to you,
"Well, well, well, Miss potentially new halfling, Miss Pants, Miss not part of Bucket Baby, whatever you may be, I have my theories of what you may be.
Please share.
We need to run some tests to confirm, of course. And I see you've already made the first step in our little experiment by exposing some of your blood." And he tears the bandage from you.
Ow! I'm just... All right, I'm weak. I'm weak new baby.
Ow, ow! Ow! Why?
Why? Would you rather me take more from you? This might be enough, but it might not. I could always take all of your blood if...
Oh, why did you pull the bandaid then? Everything hurts. Look at me.
Yes, I imagine it does. Being the age that you are, looking at your appearance, I would peg your halfling age at several hundred years old, perhaps.
Oh, that's so long. How old are you?
That's a very personal question.
You got mine.
Yes, but I am your better.
By how many years?
And he drops the bandage into a beaker on the workbench. He doesn't add any liquids to it. He starts to run some sort of mechanical process.
Okay. I can't let him test my blood. So I need to do everything in my power to prevent that Band-Aid from getting touched by anything that'll give him information. So what is he doing right now? He's doing a mechanical thing?
Yeah, he's like grinding. He like put the beaker with the bandage into something that's like grinding it all up. It's like gears and there's a crushing element of like mixing the glass and the bandage and the blood and everything together.
That's so weird.
It's yeah, his science is weird.
Can I blow it away?
He produces a fine powder that he starts to like
he's measuring it out, like, and that's so funny.
like the cocaine in Annie Hall.
Yeah, is he really?
Yeah, and then you're just gonna blow it away.
I want to trip. I want to like grab something like a fucking pan or something, and like grab a book or something flat and fall in a way that's gonna make wind. To gust of wind it away.
Okay, you do that. You grab a painting or something from the wall and use it.
No, not that. No, that's too intentional.
Okay, you just want something.
I'm baby, remember?
Right.
I'm new.
Okay.
So I'm just kind of toddling after him, and I accidentally slip and pull a tray that had like the sharp utensils or whatever on it, and I fall and happen to use it.
I see. Yes. Okay. You do that, and it blows off of his, like, slide or whatever he was pouring it on. And he says, damn it!
I'm new.
Well, now I will just require more blood, won't I? And he turns back to you holding a scalpel.
Get on.
D&D is a Moorpark Media podcast and a Spotify preferred partner. Written and edited by me, James Gressel. D&D is performed by James A. Janisse, Chelsea Rebecca, Beth Bradloff, and Mike Seigen.